The first cookbook that was ever written that is still in print today is a book called Of Culinary Masters by Apicius. It was written in the 4th century CE in Rome, and it had more than 500 recipes in it. But something that was very interesting about it was that it included Indian spices, which means that in Rome, they already had access to spices in India. So in addition to just teaching us what they may have been eating at the time, what their diet, culture, what their livelihoods were like, were they farming, were they hunting, how were they getting their food, besides for learning all of those food-based facts, we also then are able to pull out an additional historical fact, which is that at that point, Rome already had contact with India and was already able to have access to goods that were only found in India. When we enter into Sefer Vayikra, as we do this week, much of it can read much like a cookbook. That if you read the beginning of this week's parsha, you take this animal that's this age and this size, and you use this much flour, and you use this much oil, and you incorporate them together, and you bring them in this way, and you offer them up to Hashem. And this part is for you, and this part is for the Kohen, and this part is for Hashem. And it seems to go step by step how to create each one of these recipes, quote unquote, for the different carbonyl. I don't know how tasty they would be. Eretz Hashem, we'll find out very soon. My husband always says one of the biggest perks of marrying him is that I'll get to eat from the carbonos. Well, one day. But until then, I want to focus on one of these side facts that comes in through these recipes for carbonos that's not necessarily the core essence of the carbon, which is what you do bring, but rather it's a note about what cannot be included. So if you look on the source sheet is in the chat, in Vayikra Parak Bet Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kol HaMincha Asher Takrivu LaHashem Lo Ta'aseh Chametz. Any carbon mincha, mincha is a flour offering, Asher Takrivu LaHashem, that you are going to bring to Hashem, Lo Ta'aseh Chametz, you should not make it chametz, Ki Kol Se'or V'chol Devash Lo Taktiru Mimenu Isha LaHashem. Because any se'or, which is leavened grain, v'kol devash, and any honey, lo taktiru mimenu, you should not give a carbon from it, isha l'Hashem, when you offer it up to God. So again, prior to this, we have all the instructions. You should take a seh, you should take bakar, you should take a tzon, you should take all these specific animals. You should add in this, you should add in this, you should add in this, and that will be your carbon. But this note here is telling us two ingredients that may never be included in any of the carbonyl. And that is chametz, anything that is leavened, v'devash, and any honey. And our question is going to be why? Why is it that we can't include these two specific things in the carbonyl? And I think what strengthens this question is that it's specifically noted. Because when you read a recipe for brownies, and the recipe says, you should include cocoa powder and sugar and flour and oil and maybe some vanilla. It doesn't say, and do not include broccoli, because it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. We don't need a list of every food that shouldn't go into the carbon, that shouldn't go into the recipe that you're creating, because why would we think to include anything that's outside of what's listed in the recipe? So why here, after Hashem states so specifically the exact measures and types of everything that should go into the recipes, why does Hashem include here specifically these two items that chametz or se'or and devash should not be included in any of the carbonos? So that is going to be our question. What is the significance of these two things that they should be specifically stated outside of the list of what should be included in each of the carbonos? So approach number one is going to be from the Ramban. The Ramban says, "V'tam ha-se'or v'hadvash yitachin, shehu k'divrei harav b'mor nevuchim." So the Ramban is quoting from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, "Amar shematza v'sifreihem shehaminhag haya lo'ovdei avodah zarah lahakriv kol mincha tam chametz." The minhag, when it came to serving avodah zarah, was that all of their mincha karbanot, all of their grain offerings, should be chametz. V'la'erev hadvash b'chol karbanehem. And that, sorry, v'la'ariv hadivash b'chol karbonehem, and that they should mix in honey into all of their karbanot. V'lachin asram l'gavoa v'chazeh amru rabosinu, shebimatziva shahaita nivchare b'yamei ha'avot v'acharkach sina Hashem mipnei sha'asauhu chok. So therefore, because it was given to Avodah Zarah, it became hated to God. That God said, anything that you use to serve Avodah Zarah is going to be disdainful to me, is going to be something that I do not want you to use to serve me. So therefore, because all the karbanot that were given to Avodah Zarah were chametz and had honey mixed into them, Hashem says, outside of all of the specific rules, the rules of what you should include, which animals, which types of things, what outside ingredients, besides for those specific ingredients, I want to give you this overarching message that I do not want you to use chametz and I do not want you to use devash because those things were used for Avodah Zarah. And anything that was used for Avodah Zarah, I do not want you to use to serve me. So this lesson is going to expand beyond simply telling us what to include and what not to include in the karbanos that we already have in the specific list that you should use this, 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 and this. But what should not be included is not a specific instruction for that item. Rather, it's an overarching idea that anything that is used to serve Avodah Zarah, you should not use to serve me. It would be, for example, if you were creating a recipe and it said, you should use this ingredient and this ingredient and this ingredient and this ingredient. And then we said, and this is a kosher kitchen. So we wouldn't have thought to put ham into our brownies, but it does give us an overarching message of what will and will not be included in anything that comes out of here. So Hashem is doing the same thing. Hashem is telling us the specifics of each karban, but then by this statement at the end saying, Kol mincha sher takriv l'Hashem lo taseh chametz v'chol devash, is telling us that anything used for Avodah Zarah should not be used to serve Hashem here. So that is approach number one, that Hashem abhorred these things because they were used for Avodah Zarah and therefore did not want them used in order to serve him. An interesting question is going to be, that is the statement of the Rambam, but the Rambam also has the approach that the entire reason that we have karbanos is because that was the method of serving God that Bnei Yisrael were used to. So that can be something to explore separately, which is how does the Rambam sort of understand that idea in light of the fact that Hashem wanted to distance us from Avodah Zarah, but in the same way recognize that we needed to be sort of weaned off slowly and conditioned to use what we were used to in order to serve him in a different way. So that's something that we can discuss another time. But just to throw that out there, that is sort of an internal contradiction within the Rambam, that the Rambam says explicitly that the reason we have karbanot is because that's the way the entire world was serving, and therefore Hashem wanted to tap into the way we are already used to. But here Hashem is saying, I want to take anything that was used for Avodah Zarah, and I don't want you to use it to serve me. So that can be in another conversation. I see we have a question in the chat. What about the karban on Shavuot, which is leavened bread, and the karban shlamim? So the karban on Shavuos, which is leavened bread, which is the shtei halachem, I think that that was a specific circumstance, which is when we talk extensively when it comes to the karban shtei halachem about how we can bring chametz at that time. So that is definitely not something I've looked extensively into yet in the context of this year. But I do know that when it comes to the specific discussion of that karban, that there is a discussion about how we can be using chametz. So I know that that is a conversation there. So I don't specifically know the answer here, but I do know that it's a specific exception to the rule. Okay, next approach. The second approach, I don't know why my computer's making funny sounds. Okay. The second approach comes from the Netziv in Ha'emek Davar. So the Netziv says here, ki kol se'or v'chol devash. So first he's expanding, it's not just specifically honey, it's any sort of sweetener would be called devash. Because honey is the essential sweetener, and therefore anything else that is a sweetener is sort of just falls under this category of devash. Uba'asher shaseor hu emtza'i hanesa b'yedei adam, lohusif al habriya. Yisparach. Ayin sham tachbulot b'nei adam. Masha amar, masha Hayahis Hirakatov Bibis Hamikdash Lam Dinu. De Kohamit Kariv Yoter La Hashem Ra'oilim At Yoter Bitach Bulot Enosh. So first I Makdavar and the Nitziv tells us that what is Dvash? Dvash is anything that is a sweetener. The second thing that the Nitziv tells us is that when it says, why can't we use Seor? Why can't we use anything that is leavened? And he says, because Seor is the essential way that we show that human beings can add on to God's creations, that human beings can take from what God gave us and can create something new. What does it mean through that? Hashem gave us yeast. Hashem gave us flour. Hashem gave us water. Hashem gave us salt. And Hashem gave us sugar. Hashem gave us all of these ingredients. And what happens when human beings figured out how to combine these things in exactly the right way? They were able to create a new entity. What this is probably primarily referencing is actually not yeast doughs, but is talking about sourdough, which is a method of taking the ingredients that God gave us and allowing it to ferment itself and change its nature in a way that allows us to create something new with it. So I am no sourdough expert. I do not have time to babysit the dough. I have enough things to take care of. I can't also be watching over a starter and making sure to feed it. So it falls into the same category of pets, something I probably will never engage in. But the way a starter works is you take very, very basic ingredients that each on their own will do nothing that is similar to what they will do once they become a starter. So you take flour and you take water and you allow it to ferment and you have to feed it and a whole natural process goes on in which it creates its own self-leavening agent. And then when you use a bit of that starter, you are able to create bread that leavens itself, that doesn't need the outside impetus of yeast. And by doing that, you are really creating a new bria, that Hashem gave us flour and Hashem gave us water. And we are expanding upon the creations of Hashem, and we are creating this new creation, this new thing that is able to create other things. So what the Nitziv is saying is that the creation of bread is one of the primary examples of human involvement, of human creation and creativity. And he says, it is inappropriate to show this amount of initiative and this amount of human creativity when you are in a position that is so close to God, that the closer you get to Hashem, you must limit your human initiative and allow for Hashem to be the one to fill the space, kiviyachol. Let's continue on. Va'ayin mashakatuv b'sefer Shemos, d'mashamar shahaya his hirakatuv al chamitz b'pesach. So he says it's similar to when we are warned about not eating chamitz on Pesach, mishum sha'az zman hasharshat emunah b'lev Yisrael, because this is the time when the emunah Hashem was being planted in the heart of Bnei Yisrael. Achin b'makom hakravah lifnei Hashem. Therefore, at a time of coming close before Hashem, as harat min diti, it was a constant warning. It was a constant prohibition. V'davah shabal hamtik v'zeinu ra'oy l'ma'achal haba l'haktira l'gavoha af al gav shehu bria pshuta mimenu yisparach. So what is the Nitziv saying? What do Seor and Devash represent? They represent human initiative. That whether it is taking something and creating from it a new bria, or with Devash, it is sweetening, it is changing the nature of something that Hashem gave us. This is something that we should not engage in when we are coming to bring a carbon to Hashem. That by bringing a carbon to Hashem, we are coming to grow closer to Hashem, and we are showing that we are subservient to God. And therefore, it would be inappropriate in that situation to exert our power and authority over Hashem's creations. So as we come closer and closer to Hashem, we must minimize our own initiative. We must minimize flexing our own human power and be subservient and show our subservience to God. So therefore, Seor and Devash are not allowed in the Karbanot because they show something that would be inappropriate for us to show as we are coming closer to God. So that is approach number two. So again, approach number one was that Seor and Devash were used to serve Avodah Zarah. And Hashem is saying, if it was used to serve Avodah Zarah, I don't want you to use it to serve me. Approach number two is that as we come closer to God, we are meant to limit our human initiative and our human power. And se'or, leavening, and divash are two things that we use to change the bria, to exert our human power over the creations that God gave us. And therefore, as we are coming closer to God, we are bringing a karbon, which is meant to bring us close to God. We limit showing our human initiative in this way. So that is approach number two. Approach number three is going to be the most prominent approach throughout the sources. This comes up in the classic Mefarshim. This comes up in Sifrei Chassidus, in Midrashim. It's all over this idea. But I want to specifically focus on it through the lens of Rabbeinu Bachya, because I think Rabbeinu Bachya gives us a very keen insight into understanding this approach to Se'or and Divash. But rather than starting with Rabbeinu Bachya, we are going to start with the basic introduction to this idea, which comes from the Baal HaTurim. So the Baal HaTurim says, Lo ta'aseh chametz, this is again commenting on our initial pasuk. And he says, Lo ta'aseh chametz, lefi she'yitzar hara doma l'se'or. Because the Yitzar Hara is connected, is equivalent to Se'or, to leavening. Umitam ze gamkin his hir al hadvash, she'yitzar hara matok la'adam kidvash. And that is why Hashem also warned us against divash, did not allow us to use divash, because the Yetzer Hara is sweet to a person like divash. So what's the Baal HaTurim saying? The Baal HaTurim is saying, why can't we use Se'or v'divash? Because both of them are represent the Yetzer Hara. They represent our evil inclination. Now, some of us may have heard this idea that when we look for chametz, we're not really only supposed to be searching out pretzel crumbs and Cheerios and pieces of bread, rather we're also supposed to be cleaning out ourselves, that we're supposed to be engaging in an internal cheshbon ha-nefesh and removing the chametz or the yetzer hara from ourselves. And I think we all sort of kind of just accept this as, okay, that's a nice thing that while we're cleaning out our houses, we can also focus on cleaning out our midos. But where does that analogy come from? Like, why is the Yetzer Hara compared to chametz? What about the chametz represents the Yetzer Hara? The Divash he makes slightly more clear, that he says the Yetzer Hara makes things sweet to a person like Divash, that it makes things that you know that you shouldn't engage you in look very appealing. So that's Divash. But I want to understand why we take this at face value. What does it mean that Se'or represents the Yetzer Hara? So Rabbeinu Bachya writes in his commentary on the Pasuk, but then again in his Sefer Kad HaKemach, on this topic about the Yetzer Hara being doma l'se'or, being compared to the Se'or. So let's start here, Rabbeinu Bachya on the Pasuk. So Rabbeinu Bachya quotes, Ki kol se'or v'chol dvash lo taktiru mimenu isha la Hashem. Katav harav zecher l'bracha b'sefer hamora. So he's quoting the opinion of the Rambam, the same opinion the Ramban quoted. Ki minhag av ovdei akum shebechol min chatam hayu makrivin chamitz v'hayu ma'arvim hadvash b'chol karbonehem v'lachin asram l'gova. Same idea that the Ramban quoted, that the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, that Hashem did not want chametz or divash because both of these things were used in order to give karbanot to Avodah Zarah, and therefore Hashem did not want it to be offered to him as well. V'chein yanza amru chazal, v'matziva shahayta nivchera b'yameha avos v'achar kach, sin'ah Hashem ipnei sha'asa'uha chok la'avodah zarah kimo she'ne'emar isha sin'ah Hashem elokecha. That because this is used for avodah zarah, Hashem came to hate these things, that Hashem did not want something that was used in order to serve avodah zarah to be used to serve him. V'le'inyan da'ati hapshat ki ha'karban l'chaper bo al avonoseinu. But he says, according to my opinion, the karban, its purpose, is to be mechaper al avonoseinu, to bring us kapara, to bring us our atonement for our sins. V'lulei ha-mesit v'hamadiach shehu yetzer hara, lo haya adam chotei. And if it wasn't for the push and pull of the yetzer hara, this person would not have sinned. So the person who is bringing the karban is doing so because of the yetzer hara. V'lo tzarich l'karban klal, v'has se'or v'hadvash hin hin hi yetzer hara atmo. And the se'or and the divash, they are the Yetzer Hara itself. Kimo she'amru Chazal inyan chametz v'matzah b'pesach. We can learn from what Chazal tell us by chametz and matzah, by not being allowed to eat chametz and being instructed to eat matzah on Pesach. Sarich adam lefanot levavo mi Yetzer Hara. That a person must turn his heart away from the Yetzer Hara. And this is why it says you may not eat the Karban Pesach while there is chametz present. The Karban Pesach haya kapara al avodah zara she'avdu b'Mitzrayim. And the Karban Pesach was a kapara for the idol worship they had done while they were in Egypt. So this is giving us a little bit of insight into why we believe that the Yetzer Hara is symbolized by chametz, which is saying in certain circumstances, like the Karban Pesach, when the Karban Pesach was there to be a kapara for all of the Avodah Zarah we had served, Hashem says, lo tuchal alav chametz, that there should not be chametz present in that situation. So once we're reading it sort of in that context, it makes a little more sense to say, what would you not want to be present when you are trying to atone for something negative that you did? You would not want the thing that brought you to do that negative action to be present at the time. So if we're saying when you bring the Karban Pesach, if you're sort of thinking very meta about this and you're backing up from the situation and saying, what brought me here? Then saying lo tuchal alav chametz is not just going to be, you shouldn't eat it as a bread Karban Pesach sandwich, but also we're going to say, if this is coming as a kapara, perhaps the chametz was something of a deterrent from doing what we were supposed to do. So that's where we get closer to this understanding of lo tuchal alav chametz, meaning that chametz equals the Yetzer Hara. So they wanted to distance themselves so that they would not ever return to serving Avodah Zara. Now let's all just, we're not going to take offense to this, okay? Why is Divash a problem? And he says, Divash in Gematria is Isha, is woman. The Ha'isha hi Yetzer Hara. And the woman represents the Yetzer Hara as well. And now we're not just saying that all women are the Yetzer Hara, rather we're tying it specifically back to the story of Adam HaRishon. That we say, Kikin Matsinu ba'Adam HaRishon, that we found by Adam HaRishon, Shechata Amar Ha'isha Asher Natata Imadi. That when Adam HaRishon sinned, it says, he says, it was because of the woman that was with me. Ratzalomar Hayitzer Hara Sheyatar Tabi. But when Adam HaRishon really should have said, was that it was the Yetzer Hara that was inside of me. The Ha'isha Amra Hanachash Hasi'ani, and the Isha, the woman, was really just passing along what the snake had told her. V'zesod Nachash V'isha V'ha'iva, and this is the secret of the snake and the woman. V'lachin Horchaku HaSa'or V'hadvash Me'akarban, therefore, we should separate the se'or, the leaven, the hadvash, and the sweetness, meha karban, ki lo yitachin shnei ha-pachim b'nosei echad, because we shouldn't have these two things at one time. We shouldn't have the yitzer hara be anywhere near our idea and our path to kapara. V'od ki haya nimtza tovel v'sharetz b'yado, because it's like the concept of someone who would dip in a mikvah with something impure in their hand. That the idea of tovel v'sharetz b'yado, a sharetz is something that is impure, that if you go into the mikvah while you're holding something impure, you're not going to become pure. One is going to negate the other. V'day l'mevin, and this should be enough to understand. However, he continues on and he says, V'le'inyan da'ati ha-kabbalah se'or v'hadvash remez l'midas hadin ki'udeya milashon chamit. He says, additionally, though, the se'or and the devash is reference to midas hadin, because it's found in Kabbalah that both chametz and honey are symbols of din, of justice. And therefore, these two things are seen in Kabbalah as things that will distance you from Hashem rather than things that will bring you closer. Alkein lotek amar lotek tiru mimenu isha l'Hashem, ki kivan shakavana l'shem ha-miyuchad lota afech chametz v'lotek tiru se'or v'devash. That in Kabbalah, these things are connected to din, these are connected to the idea of justice and not sort of to closeness and love. Therefore, when we're bringing a karban, we want to call upon Hashem's love and kindness towards us, not upon Hashem's din. And we want to distance anything that has to do with din from the karban and anything that will bring us to kapara. So the opinion of Rabbi Nubachia, which he's brought up here in terms of our context with karbanot and also by Pesach, is that karban, that the se'or and dvash both represent the Yetzer Hara, and therefore we do not want them to be present at a time when we are trying to come closer to Hashem, when we are trying to achieve kapara. However, Rabbeinu Baklia adds an additional note that I think will add to our understanding in relation to chametz on Pesach, that each of these examples, because it's the idea of chametz and it naturally comes up by Pesach as well as here by the Karbanot, are sort of drawing upon the ideas they learn from the topic of the Karbanot and try to apply them to the Isser of chametz on Pesach, which of course is relevant to us right now. You wouldn't know from the state of my house, but Pesach is coming. Gam Isar Hachamitz Bepesach Minatam Hazak, who could deal with Sarif Nefesh Hamishlacha Vilikvoa believe Emunas Hashem. The Isar of Chametz on Pesach is from the same reason that it is we want to accomplish by removing the Chametz is we want to connect our Nefesh to Hashem. We want to connect to Emunas Hashem, b'zikaron ha'nifla'ot v'ha'nechlolot b'yitzias Mitzrayim. That on Pesach, specifically our avoda, is to remember everything that Hashem did for us and use this as a vehicle to connect to Emunas Hashem. V'china asar lanu ha'chamitz l'zikaron, shelo hispik b'tzikam shal avotinu l'hachmitz ad shenegalu. So why is chametz asar to us? As a reminder that we did not have enough time for our bread to rise as we were leaving, ad shenegalu, until we were redeemed, v'hapshat ha'gatov v'ya'afu et ha'batik asher hutziyo mimitrayim. U'min ha'yadua b'isar ha'chametz, sheyesh bo remez l'yetzer hara. And there, we understand that there is a reference to the yetzer hara in the idea of chametz, v'ha'adam chayav l'hagvir yetzer hatov al ha'yetzer hara. And a person's constant avoda is to raise their yetzer hatov, their good inclination, over their yetzer hara. V'zo kavanas haTorah b'tainios u'b'tfilos u'b'tzedakos v'zehu ikar apirish b'pasak yodei tzadik nefesh behem to klomar nefesh ha'mishalo ki tzadik mashperu machnia oto milashon v'yodei behem anshei schot v'gavoha mimerchei kiyadeha. We understand that we are trying to constantly, throughout our lives, we are trying to raise our Yetzer HaTov over our Yetzer Hara. And specifically at a time like Pesach, when we are trying desperately to connect to Emunas Hashem, that we are trying to remember, we are trying to relive the miracles that Hashem did for us, we want to remove anything that can stand away in the way of us achieving that renewed connection. That we want to remove anything from inside of us that is going to deter us from connecting to Hashem. So therefore, Seor and Devash, things that are representative of the Yetzer Hara, are of course going to be deterrents. So we are going to remove them, not only when it comes to the Karbanos, but also specifically when it comes to Pesach. V'hinei lashon chamitz milashon ki yit chamitz levavi, ki haliv hanutei laharshia yikru'uhu chazal hechmitz. That we use this language of chamitz when it comes specifically to sinning. That we say that if someone has a heart that is inclined to sin, we say they have a liv hechmitz. They have a heart that has leavened. Ki haliv hanutei laharshia yikru'uhu chazal hechmitz, ki inyan ava amru bekoresh kan kudim shehechmitz, kan la'achar shehechmitz. He talks about the tracing the language of chametz, that we say anything that has sort of gone bad is called chametz. And rather we turn to Hashem, we remove these things and we turn to Hashem and we say, we want you to know that our ratzon is to do your ratzon. Yitzer hara harish em shilu yitzer hara lesor the amruba midrash ki hu yodea yitrinu oy la isa shen chotom meir alaha shira shehira the alkin haya hachamit murchak min hamizbeach the his hira alav torah shalola akriva kol ikarhu that it is essential that we remove anything that is hachmit, anything that has fermented, anything that has gone bad, anything that has risen. We want to remove entirely, not only from our hearts, but we want to remove it from our karbanos, anything that is going to be a method that we are going to use to connect to Hashem, we want to remove chametz from. So just interesting to state, Rav Nevensol, that I saw this quoted by Rabbi Franz, that Rav Avigdor Nevensol cites the prayer of the Amora Rav Alexandri following his recital of Shemona Esrei as a Talmudic source for linking leaven or seor to the evil inclination. It is revealed and known to you that our wish is to do your desire, but what stops us? The leavening agent in the bread and foreign domination, Shibud Malchios. So Rav Nevensol is explaining this last piece that we read here in the Kata Kemach, that saying this language of Ritzon Ilaso, Ritzon Chal, that my will is to do your will, was found in a prayer that was said after Shemona Esrei by the Amora Rav Alexandri. And he says here, what is it that deters us from following your will, Hashem? It is the chametz in the bread. It is the Seor Sheba Isa. And it is foreign domination, Sheben Malchios, that if nobody else was ruling over us, we would always follow in Hashem's ways. So Rashi there equates Seor Sheba Isa with the Yetzer Hara. And Rav Neventhal explains this metaphor. When yeast is added to the other ingredients in a chal recipe, the small amount of dough in the mixing bowl suddenly rises to filling the entire bowl and perhaps even overflowing. How does this happen? It's not magic. It is the effects of carbon dioxide. The CO2 gas created by the mixture of flour, water, and leavening agent makes the dough rise. If a person sticks his finger in the middle of the dough after it rises, the dough plops down, falling flat. That is why the seor is like the yetzer hara. The Yetzer Hara appears to us as an enormous power of huge dimensions, that the Yetzer Hara seems so big to us. But in reality, it's all air. If we were to poke it, it would all fall flat. If we puncture it, it will collapse. The Yetzer Hara is an illusion. We all have our Yetzer Hara, sometimes for money, sometimes for honor, sometimes for women, but it is an illusion. Passion and physicality is always greater in the abstract than it is in the reality. Expectation and anticipation always exceed the real thing when it comes to physical matters. We think that the Yetzer Hara is inconquerable, but most of it is fluff. For this reason, the evil inclination is compared to the leavening agent. So with this idea explained by Rav Neventhal, which is why is the Yetzer Hara represented by Seor, we can understand why we want to separate it from Pesach and from our Karbanos. That at times and in spaces when we want to grow closer to Hashem, we want to remove these illusions that are before our eyes. We want to remove these illusions of things that are so great, that are such tremendous deterrents for us. And we want to return to what we know to be true. And that is that we want to fulfill Ratzon Hashem. We want to remove the things that are in our way so that we are able to reconnect. So again, to recap the three ideas as to why cannot we include Seor, Chametz, and Dvash in our Karbano. And the first approach was the approach of the Rambam, brought down by the Ramban, which is that these are the agents that were used in the Karbano to Avodah Zarah. And Hashem said, anything that was used to serve Avodah Zarah, I don't want you to use to serve me. The second approach was that these are, that the Seor and the Dvash are both things that show a tremendous amount of human initiative, that they show how we add on to the Bria. And in circumstances where we are trying to come close to Hashem, we want to appear subservient to Hashem. We don't, in those situations, want to be expressing and pushing our human initiative. Rather, we want to show Hashem that we are subservient to Him. So we do not include them there. And the third approach, which is the most widespread, is the approach that Seor and Dvash represent the Yetzer Hara. That as Rabbi Franz quoted from Rav Neventhal, Seor appears so large, any leavening agent seems so grand, that the Yetzer Hara seems tremendous. They seem like these obstacles that are insurmountable. However, in practicality, they are really not so big, that if you were to poke them, they would collapse, just like a risen piece of dough. So therefore, when we are coming to Hashem, we want to put aside, we want to remove from our karbanos, we want to remove from ourselves anything that can stand in the way of us connecting to Hashem. So we want to move aside the Yetzer Hara so that we can reconnect to Hashem and say, Ritzoni la'asot ritzoncha. That when we want to reconnect to our emunah on Pesach, we cannot have chametz present there. When we want to give a karban to come close to Hashem, we cannot have the Yetzer Hara there. So Ritz Hashem, as we are reading these psukim, as we are learning the parsha of the Shabbos, and we are learning about all the karbanos and all of these different methodologies that Hashem allows us and grants us to grow closer to Him. And as we are preparing for the holiday of Pesach, may we recognize these different approaches to the significance of chametz and use it to effectively clear it out, not only of our homes for Pesach, but out of our neshamot and out of the spaces that we want to use to connect to Hashem.